This time we'll have Dan come and share with us what Lord has laid on your heart.
Thank you, Pastor. Please turn to Numbers chapter 11 this afternoon. Numbers chapter 11, I just want to share a few simple thoughts about a particular subject here. If you're taking notes, you can write down the title, How to Go Camping in a Heat Wave. You say, well, winter's coming. Well, we're going to talk about camping in the summertime. No, not exactly. You'll understand the title once we get into the message here. How to Go Camping in a Heat Wave. How many of you enjoy camping? It's okay to raise your hand. Very good. You've gone camping before. Maybe you have some fond memories going camping with your father or your family and some neat things like that. Lots of families do. I'm talking about real camping, not fake camping like we do at Servant's Heart Camp and some of these other Bible Christian camps. Real camping where you have to pack everything that you're going to take along with you and carry it in on your back. Maybe 50 miles or something. I don't know. You get in there and you set up camp. And just imagine with me that you're going real camping. And often how it goes, at least my experience, maybe it's a hot summer day and everything is just dry and dusty. You get to your campsite that night, you set up your tent and your different things, and you lay your sleeping bag out on the ground, and it's way too hot to go and get in the sleeping bag, and so you just lay on top of it. And just imagine it was a hot summer day, just the humidity, has been so thick as you're falling asleep. You feel like you're going to drown if you don't grow gills by the morning or something like that to survive. And it's just hot and miserable. Every single time you toss and turn on your sleeping bag, that root just seems to keep poking you in the back, and there's just no way around it. And that's often how it turns out to be when you're real camping, in a heat wave especially. Turns out to be miserable. Well, in Numbers chapter 11, the children of Israel were camping. They were camping in the desert, and as they were camping in the desert, things got very hot very fast. And if you were to ask them how their camping time was there as they wandered in the wilderness, they would not tell you that it was miserable. They would tell you in this particular instance that terrifying was much more like it. You say, why? What was so bad? Well, here things got very hot, very fast in Numbers chapter 11, and they learned a surefire way to turn up the thermostat. And here it was, start complaining. They began to complain and murmur against the Lord and what He had allowed in their particular situation there. Please read with me, follow along as I read. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Wow. They learned how to go camping in a heat wave. And as we study this subject here together a little bit, complaining, you and I must recognize that complaining is a sin that we need to take seriously. Complaining is sin, and we must choose to replace it with praising and glory to our Lord, gratitude to God. Number one, notice with me the simple outline here today. It'll be the people complained, then the camp was consumed, and then finally the fire was quenched. Number one, the people complained. It says, verse 1, And when the people complained, it displeased. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 16, verse 12, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Numbers chapter 14, verses 26 through 27. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Sometimes we just let things come out of our mouth, and even it may not even come out of our mouth. It may just be an attitude of our heart. God hears those words, and He sees the attitude in our hearts. It's not something He's fooled by. It's not something He misses as he holds the world together, and by Him all things consist. No, He sees every single detail, and He sees the very thoughts of our hearts. And when we are discontent with something that He's allowed into our lives, He knows about it. God heard it here, and God hears it in our lives too. But also, not only does God hear it, but He hates it. It said that it displeased the Lord. God was angry with these people. He was seeing their complaining, hearing their complaining, and the Bible says His anger was kindled against them, and the judgment came as a result. God hates our complaining. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 10 through 11, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, right, looking back right at these times in the nation of Israel, and they were destroyed of the destroyer, God says. Now all these things happen unto them for an examples, and they are written for our admonition. And so, friends, let's be sure to learn from their mistake today. And as we go into this week and something happens and we want to say something or have an attitude of the heart that is one of discontent, we need to remember God hates this. It's serious. James chapter 5, verse 9 says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. We have to remember that God is the judge, and He hates our sin, and He hates this sin of complaining. I think we take this one lightly. It's like one of those sins, like covetousness or jealousy or something, you know? We think these things aren't that bad because they don't really affect many people around us, but the truth is they do. And we let words come out of our mouth. We have attitudes of the heart that God is displeased with. God hates it. God hears it. Number two, the camp was consumed. This is what happened as a result of their sin of complaining. The fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Now, I'll be honest, I don't quite know exactly what to think when this took place. My question has always been, did fire burn among the people and actually burn the people? I mean, were their lives lost here? Or did it just burn in the uttermost parts of the camp and burn up their tents and all their goods? I don't know what actually happened, but I do know the wrath of God was being revealed against sin. I say that because them that were is italicized. And so I don't really know what was happening here, but I do know God was judging sin. And it's quite possible some people lost their lives. If nothing else, they lost their tents. They lost a whole bunch of possessions, and God's fire was burning something. And it got their attention. The camp was consumed. And there is great loss that happens, I believe, when we complain. Here's two things that I think that we lose, that we would be able to see from the scriptures, and we can probably think of more, but when we complain, we've lost our contentment with God. No longer are we satisfied in Him alone. No longer do we sense that He's meeting our needs. Suddenly we feel like we need something other than Him. We're discontent with what He's allowed into our lives. The complainer is unable to find his strength and satisfaction in the Lord because he is consumed with that thing that's irritating him. He's consumed with his own selfish desires. Complaining is to express dissatisfaction or annoyance about something while failing to have confidence in God's goodness and perfect control over the situation. It's really all about your attitude. Yeah, it's the words that are important too, but it starts in the heart. That's where we really need to go to fix this problem, the attitude that is there. We fail to have confidence in God's goodness and perfect control over the situation. We know this. God is good all the time. But yet in those times we're complaining, we're not remembering that. So we've lost our contentment with God when we complain. The Bible says in Psalm 81, verses 13 through 16, "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should have soon subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with the honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee?" God is expressing his desire for his people, and he's lamenting, "I wish my people would have hearkened unto me, because I soon would have delivered them. I would have met all their needs. I would have satisfied them if they would have hearkened unto me and walked in my ways." When you are complaining, you're not walking in God's ways. John 4, verses 13 through 14, Jesus answered and said unto her, this is the woman at the well, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." God's talking about, Jesus is telling this woman how it's God that satisfies the deepest longings of your heart. That living water. To never thirst again? Well, when you complain, you've lost your contentment with God. Also, you've lost your communication with God. It's interesting that the fire here is burning, it's consuming in the uttermost parts of the camp where the complainers lived. If you remember with me how they often set up camp in the wilderness, the tabernacle is in the middle, right? And then the tribes all gathered around and set up their camps round about the tabernacle. And where was the mixed multitude? Where was the complainers? They were often on the fringes in the uttermost part of the camp. Friends, that's where we're dwelling when we're not content with our God. That's where we're dwelling, far away from the presence of God, when we are having the wrong kind of attitude and complaining. You lose your communication with God. It puts a wall between you and him and your fellowship, and because no longer are you depending upon him. Now there's a breach in that fellowship. And we know verses such as, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. It says in Isaiah 59, verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Psalm 66, 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Proverbs 15, verse 29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous." You see, when we are complaining and our hearts are not right with God, we lose some very, very valuable things. Satisfaction in our Savior. Contentment in our God. And communication as well. And so number two, we see the camp was consumed. We learned how the people, number one, started complaining. But now finally, number three, the fire was quenched. How did the judgment stop? Well, it says in verse 2, "And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched." It's interesting that the people had to cry unto Moses. I know that's how they did it back then. They had a mediator, the priest and Moses and all that. But we get to go directly to the Lord. They were having to go through Moses, and there was a breach in their communication as well that we, thankfully, don't have. But they had to cry unto Moses, and then it was Moses who was able to stand before the Lord and pray. And so what does this leave us with? Well, really following in the theme of this morning, complaining must be recognized as a serious sin. God takes our complaining very seriously, and it's time that you and I do as well. He's ready to quench the fires of his chastisement as soon as we cry unto him like they did here and pray. Confess the sin. The Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 5, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." So verse 3 here in Numbers chapter 11, it says, "And he called the name of the place Taberah," meaning a burning, "because the fire of the Lord burnt among them." In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 22, it says there that at Taberah ye provoked the Lord to wrath. You see, God was displeased. God hated this kind of an attitude in his people, and he still does today. So complaining must be recognized as a serious sin, but also complaining needs to be replaced with something. It needs to be replaced with praising. Chronic complainers need to go on a praise campaign. It's one way to put it. Why? Because God is always good. And so what do we need to do? Just start praising God for everything. Start being thankful and grateful for His goodness in our lives. And no doubt, at times, we're not going to feel like that. And if we were to express praise to our God or try to have those thoughts in our minds, no doubt that at times they will not feel genuine. But it's still what we are called to do. We're supposed to praise our God at all times because He is always good. And when we do what we're supposed to do and we have a heart of gratitude and we praise the Lord, it's not long before our perspective begins to be influenced and changed into what it ought to be. Even in the midst of a terrible tragedy, you can still recognize God as good and praise Him for it. Instead of, "Why did this have to happen?" Or, "If this wouldn't have taken place or that wouldn't have taken place, then I wouldn't have to be dealing with this." We have to have the right attitude. I remember back on the dairy farm, I'm using the dairy farm as illustration all the time today. Back on the dairy farm, my boss was a very godly influence. And so often I would see things happen, maybe something would go wrong or whatever, and his answer was so often, "You know what, Dan? It doesn't matter for eternity. Don't worry about it." He would say that so much. And he would so often just have the right attitude. Even when I'd do something dumb or whatever, he wouldn't complain about it. When we couldn't get a bolt to loosen up or figure out how to fix or repair something, he wouldn't complain. I would never hear him do that. He would always have something to praise the Lord for. And when that bolt did loosen up, his first words were always, "Praise the Lord, Dan." It's so good to be around someone with an attitude like that. That is attractive to the world. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Psalm 106, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Psalm 107, verse 8, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." We need to praise the Lord. All the time. And those times, those of us who struggle with complaining and really having the right attitude, we need to make up our minds. I'm just going to go and praise the Lord for a lot more things now. Do something practical with the Word of God today. And so here we see God's attitude toward this particular sin. God heard it and He hates it, and His anger was kindled in this situation. Praise God, though, that He is a merciful God, and that the fires were quenched when they chose to cry unto the Lord, cry unto Moses in this situation. Moses prayed unto the Lord, and God answered that prayer of repentance, and the fires were quenched. And so let's choose in our lives to have the right attitudes and say the right words, and God will be well pleased. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you for this short challenge this afternoon about this particular area of complaining. God, I pray as we go into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, this week, that you will be pleased with our attitudes because we are yielding ourselves to your Spirit. I pray that no matter what may happen in the next few days, whatever battles we may face, Lord, I pray that you would help us to find the solution, the answer in you. Because God, you promised to be all that satisfies if we'll let you. Lord, help us to seek you and help us to stay far away from this sin of complaining. The world does this all the time. Lord, help us as Christians to be different. A people who bring praise and glory to you in everything. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.